Welcome to Meet the People of MCB with Chip Haley and Kay Malmquist. Sponsored by the Missouri Council of the Blind. Let's get to it with this week's interview. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Meet the People of MCB. I'm Chip Haley.
And I'm Kay Malmquist.
And we are back and better than ever. Kay, I got to tell you, it seems like forever since the last time we did Meet the People of MCB. And I'm glad that we're back and we're ready to do another edition. I tell you, the last month and a half has been just a flurry of activity. We've just not had the time to do Meet the People of MCB.
Yep, and we have one more event this weekend, and then I think things are going to slow down just a bit until the ACB convention, but you are so right. I mean, it has just been one thing right after another, and it's going to be nice to be able to take a breath and go, whew, I can stay home.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. We're glad to be back. And so today, it gives me great pleasure to introduce our guest today here on Meet the People of MCB. We welcome Rob Albro. Rob, welcome to Meet the People of MCB.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We're glad to have you. You know, Rob, that we had a little bit of technical difficulty the last time that we did the interview with you. I don't know what happened exactly. The recording was doing its job, but all of a sudden the audio got dropped and we proceeded thinking that the interview was being recorded. But when we went back to listen to it, well, we had no audio for some strange reason. It was just one of those quirky kind of things that happen sometimes. But we're glad that you're here with us again today, and we're looking forward to today's interview. And like we did last time, Rob, tell us again your name. You told us last time, so why don't you let folks know what your real name is?
It's Robin Elbrill.
Okay, very good. So, but you like to be called Rob, right?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to call you Rob. And so why don't we start off having you tell us about your vision loss? What was the cause, result of your vision loss?
We really don't know anything about that, but we do know that after I did get vision loss, cataract set in, so they really can't determine anything beyond that. They came up with a diagnosis of, they thought I may have had leukemia, or not leukemia, but glaucoma. That wasn't an issue. That after a while, that wasn't an issue. Then they thought there may have been a blood clot. So they really don't know. They've been poking at that one. Some doctors say there's some type of activity back behind one of the eyes, but the doctor that I have, she says, no, there's no activity behind either one of the eyes from what she sees. So I really don't know which way to go on that one.
So Rob, do you have any light perception?
No.
Okay. So you're totally blind.
Yes, totally blind.
Okay, and you told us before, when did you first start to experience vision loss?
Mine was a unique one. It happened overnight. I come in off the road with vision on a work night, and when I got up the next morning to go back to work, I didn't have no vision. I had light perception, but no vision. I seen some shadows, but not much. It happened right overnight. It was very unusual. I really didn't know which way to turn in a way.
Yeah. So this was so totally unexpected for you?
Yeah, it was really unexpected. And I, to be honest with you, I was just at the eye doctor maybe 6 months before that, and I had 20/20 vision. So it really was unexpected. And like I said, about the first 6 months of this was really challenging.
And so you were employed as a truck driver, right?
Yeah, truck driver / mechanic for Roush Fenway Racing.
So as a truck driver, the next day when you woke up and you experienced vision loss, were you at home at that time or were you on the road?
Yeah, no, I was home. We just came in off the road for overnight.
I see.
Took my dog with me.
Okay.
I had my dog with me. And we just come off the road. And the worst part about it is I watched the baseball game that night. And talked to my daughters.
Okay.
And when I went to bed, I had vision. And the next thing you know, I didn't have no vision.
Okay.
I had light reception, but I didn't have, it was really an unusual change. And you know how you try to rub your eyes and keep rubbing your eyes and try to get focus? It didn't work either.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So we tried to get into an eye doctor as quick as we could. And they determined that I may have had glaucoma. We went from there.
Okay.
Maybe. Pardon?
I was just saying okay.
And then that... maybe a few months later after that, they were supposed to send me in for some tests on that glaucoma. And that's when I went completely blind, totally blind.
What was that like for you? What was that like, that experience? I mean, did you experience fear? What kind of emotions were you going through having that experience?
Yeah, it was scary. It was a scary moment. I didn't know how to adjust to it. I had some crazy thoughts, but I didn't proceed them. I was like anybody else. It's a paranoia thing. You try to figure out what you did wrong and why you did wrong. And if you're being disciplined for it, you know, you have all kinds of wild thoughts. And then one day I had a little person. She was about 7 years old. And we were at church and I was sitting outside. And I was going through one of them sad songs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Crying to myself about why am I blind? Why can't I do this? And why I can't do that? And I had a little 7-year-old come out and sit with me, and she told me how it was. She said, God just tested you, and he made you a stronger soldier for him. He knows that you can do this being blind. And that's really one thing that changed my life was a little person that told me that.
Okay.
It was kind of scary. She had a better understanding at this than I did, you know?
Sure.
And to this day, she's my best friend.
So, Rob, you mentioned your dog. What's your dog's name?
His name was Fruit Loop. He passed on.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a character. He was
What breed of dog is it?
He was a homeless pit.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to turn it.
Be a good guard dog.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm going to turn it over to Kay here in just a second. But you also mentioned your daughters. You got two daughters.
Three daughters.
Oh, okay.
The twins stay with me.
Yeah. So what are their names?
Kobe, Vanessa, and Megan. They're all Elbrooks. They're not married.
Okay, well, good. And well, and they all three live there pretty close to you?
Well, the twins live with me, and they go back to Michigan.
I see.
They're adults. So, and then Kobe, she stays with her mother up there to keep her mother company.
So are you originally from Michigan?
Yes.
And what part of Michigan were you from?
The eastern part, Port Huron area.
Okay. And so how long have you been there in Poplar Bluff?
I've been here now about 15 years.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, I tell you, Rob, I'm going to turn it over to Kay because I know she's got some really good questions for you.
Thank you, sir.
Just the usual questions. We were talking kind of about family and things like that. So do you have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I do. I have two sisters and two brothers.
And are they in Michigan right now or what?
Yeah, they all four live in Michigan.
So
along with
all
my
your
parents.
Okay. All right. Wow. That's cool. Yeah. And you travel back and forth and see them and stuff like that. So
not since I've been blind, I haven't.
Oh, really? Okay.
They've come to see me, but it can be handful taking somebody like you that far out up there. I'm not the type of person to sit in a vehicle for a long period of time. I really did get used to being outside of a vehicle since I've been blind. There's a lot of things I've gotten used to that I used to like doing that I pretty much could care less doing now. I don't think I could ever go back to being a sighted person knowing what I know now as a blind person. It'd be a real challenge trying to get resettled in as a sighted person. So I learned to adjust to the things that I can do now with my blindness. And sitting around isn't really a whole lot for me.
No, I can understand. I can definitely. Well, that's good because so that means that you've really handled and adjusted to losing your vision, because I heard your story and just listening to that just basically waking up one morning and suddenly not being able to see. I'll tell you what, that would be a traumatic experience for anybody. So that's neat that you've actually turned it around and become so acclimated to it that you're totally okay with it, which is great. Well, anyway.
Just sometimes you adjust to it.
Yeah. Yep. Yep, I agree.
Well, like the things that I got to learn, really, it's the things that I got to learn, like learning to read Braille, learning to use my hands more at doing things like cooking. I still clean a little bit. I still do a lot of things. I don't run the vacuum. I don't go and I do mop the floors down and stuff, you know. I wipe the counters down and I dust a little bit. I do things like that. But stuff like the vacuuming, I don't mess with because I'll probably damage the walls or run over one of the kids and get them sucked up in the vacuum or something. You never know.
I've got a room we call the guest bedroom, and somehow all the cat toys end up in there. And believe you me, before I vacuum, they get picked up because they get sucked up the vacuum cleaner and everything else like that. So I understand exactly what you're talking about. It can be done, and maybe someday you will, maybe someday you won't. Everybody handles things differently.
Right.
So Kip was talking about you were a trucker at one time. Could we go back through your employment history or what kind of things did you do? Obviously, before you completely lost your vision, you were totally sighted, so I assume you probably had other jobs besides trucking. So what other things have you done in your life?
Nope, I had one job, and that was with the race team, a got hired on September 17th of 1983, and then I was discharged in June 6th of 2013. Yeah, I had almost 30 years in with the same team.
Wow.
I was an engine builder for them, too. I have a degree from the University of Michigan for auto engineering. I have a degree with chemistry and physics.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
So.
Well, Chip. Oh, go ahead. You had more to say? Go ahead.
No. I'm good.
So let me, I got a follow-up question. You said you got, you attended Michigan University, and you got a degree in auto engineering. Is that something that someone who is blind or vision impaired would be able to do, or does it require sight?
I have tried it, and if you're really talented with your hands, you could do it as a blind person, visually impaired or limited vision. You could probably do it if you were, it's a challenge, but if you were talented enough with your hands, you could figure it out. I tried it, but it really just didn't. At the time, I was really trying to learn to use my hands, and all my other senses, and trying to combine them together was a challenge. But if, like today, if I were to go back into it, I probably could do it with my hands.
Sure.
But other than that, I would encourage people to do it just to challenge themselves. It's like sports. I would encourage them to try to play sports too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of them can be really talented at sports. Just they got to put themselves to it. Now, I'm not telling them to go play football or nothing like that, hockey, but get out there and maybe play some softball or baseball.
And did you tell us, what are you, a Detroit Tigers fan, St. Louis Cardinals fan, or what?
Yeah, I'm a Tigers fan.
Okay, good
Tigers
deal.
Fan.
Yeah, yeah.
Lions fan.
Yeah.
The Red Wings and the Pistons.
Yep.
I'm a big Wolverine fan.
Oh, yeah, you got to be a big,
my daughters, they went to college over there at University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, too. My twins, they went on scholarships for volleyball and basketball. And then my oldest, she went for softball and she played basketball too.
Yeah.
So. Sounds like the whole family is involved in sports.
Oh,
man,
you bet.
Wrong with
bet.
That?
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah, the girls are really big time sports fanatics. They really are big time sports fanatics.
Mm-hmm.
We were raised on Lake Huron up here in Michigan. And they turned out to be really good swimmers. They didn't join the swim team, but they could have joined the swim team and been probably Olympic swimmers. They were pretty talented. So,
Rob, let me ask you, how old of a person are you?
I'm 56 years old. I'll be 57 in July.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. And right now you are the president of Southeast United Blind. You also represent your affiliate as its board representative. And so we're just really tickled to have you represent your affiliate on the board, the MCB board. And so how are things working for you as president? Have you gotten pretty well acclimated to things working out well for you?
Yes, they are. They're working out really well. We just had a meeting the other day, and we all had a good time, and it was a pretty good meeting.
So how did you actually get involved with the Missouri Council of the Blind or Southeast United Blind? How did you learn about both organizations?
I started with the rehabilitation services over there in Sykeston, and they had a blind person, and she thought it would be good for me to join the blind club or co-visited blind club over here at Poplar Bluff. And she was a member, so I came and visited with them, and everything turned out pretty good. I liked it.
Yeah.
Everybody got along with everybody fairly well, and you didn't have no problems or nothing. They seemed, if you needed anything, they were there to help you out as much as they could. Being around another blind person was really, really good for me. In fact, that's how I learned to read Braille, was through another blind person.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it really has been an inspiration to me.
Sure. Rob, how long have you been a member of Southeast United Blind?
I've been a member since 2015.
Oh, okay. All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also I wanted to ask you before I turn it back to Kay, you also told us last time that you're pretty active in your church and the different kind of things that you do in your church. Why don't you share a little bit about what kind of activities that you do and the different things that you've done for your church?
Well, I'm a deacon there now, and I open up on Sunday mornings with a devotion. We do church visit, or we do hospital visits. We go and we pass out food boxes to the public. We try to do a little bit of everything. I try to give back to the community. I get a lot of help from the community for simple things. Sometimes it's better to give back to that than it is to keep receiving something. But we go to the hospital, we visit with the sick and shut in. I have a couple people that are now, one's in a nursing home and the other one's homebound. I try to get over there and visit with them. Before our meetings, our monthly meeting, I try to get over and visit with them and try to get them caught up a little bit and let them know that we're still there for them. And sometimes I say a prayer with them if they want. And I do give them a little bit of God's word. I don't preach to them about how life is, but I try to give them some inspiration. They're older folks too now. They feel that they're like, okay, I don't know how blind you guys are, but when you went blind, how you used to think that you were never any good to the world. Part of your depression state of mind.
Sure, yeah.
What good are you? A blind person's a lot more talented at taking care of that than most people are.
Yeah.
Because they learn. So when you get up there in age, you mix your age with your eyesight, or you mix with your disability, I should say, thinking that you're no good, but you still are good to the world. So we try to encourage them to get out and do things.
Good. Yeah, that's good.
But I do go visit them in nursing homes. And I used to take my dog up there to the hospital. That was his favorite place to go, was the hospital. That was another reason he was a food loop. He was known, well known at the hospital to go visit people.
Good. I like to hear that. That's very good. So, Rob, I want to ask you, I got two more questions, and I'm going to turn it back to Kay. So what is the population of Poplar Bluff?
Poplar Bluff is about 17,000 people.
Okay. That's about what I figured. Yeah, yeah. And then my last question before I turn it back to Kay, do you, Southeast United Blind, you guys got any special activities coming up later this spring or early summer?
Not right yet. We've been trying to come up with a garage sale. And then we were talking about maybe doing a barbecue for the community.
Yeah. Okay.
We haven't put them on in action yet, but we have planned on doing that. Maybe taking a trip and going and seeing a baseball game too. I don't know.
Oh yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, that would be really great. Yeah. Okay.
We got about 15 members. And I know they would like to go and try to get you back into doing things. A lot of them don't like to get out and do much.
Yeah. Are you guys meeting in person now, or?
Yeah, we meet in person now.
Good, good, very good.
We've been doing a restaurant. We've been doing like the Pizza Inn and having lunch meetings. So
there you go.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to turn it back to you.
Okay. Well, you know, as far as going to the hospitals and seeing people and dealing with people that are shut in and don't feel like they're worth it, I guess the information or the what I would say to them is, you know what, anytime you talk with somebody on the phone or in person or whatever, and you make them smile or you say something that helps them or you're a source of positiveness, it's a help. It seems small, it seems inconsequential, but you'd be surprised how many times just the conversation with people makes a difference. And that's what I tell people that feel like they just don't have a clue. They don't do anything. They don't feel like they're worth it and this and that. And they have no idea how they affect other people. And so, yeah, I think it's commendable that you go to hospitals and talk to people and do that kind of stuff, because it makes a difference to people. It really, truly does. And then as far as the affiliates go, it's nice to see that more and more affiliates are meeting in person. They're coming out of their houses. They're wanting to get together. They're wanting to do stuff. And so your affiliate isn't any different. It's all of a sudden it's like, hey, maybe we should try to do things. And so now that, you know, there aren't any COVID restrictions or people are coming out of the woodwork, and it's time for affiliates to come up with ideas of things to do. And so your affiliate is no different, you know. It's all of a sudden it's like, hey, let's do something. So I'm glad to see that's the case. So I have a question for you. I don't know if it's time to ask you this question, but what is there about Rob Elbro that no one knows about that they might find interesting, that you've done, or maybe hobby you have or anything like that? What is it that is fascinating for people, you know, that they'd be interested in hearing about?
Rob, before you answer that question, are you got your phone on speaker?
Yes.
Because what happens, you may not be able to recognize it, but Kay and I can, and it's a little bit kind of a distraction. So if you can hold the phone up to your ear, or would that be a problem for you? Because we're getting some feedback.
Right, so now it's okay. That's the funny part. So.
Right.
How's that?
Right. That's better. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay.
So go ahead and answer Kay's question.
Could you repeat that for me, please?
Sure. Is there that about Rob Elbro that nobody knows? You know, maybe your closest friends do. Is something you've done, a hobby that you continue to do, or anything like that? Is there anything that you can think of that people might find really interesting? Wow, I didn't know you did that, or whatever the case is, that you could tell us about?
I like to cook. A lot of people don't believe that I can cook, but I do a pretty good job at cooking. I like to do barbecue on the grill.
Okay.
What I mean by barbecue, I mean, like ribs and stuff. I don't just want to put a burger on there. I want to put something else on there too. But yeah, I do cooking fairly well. A lot of people don't believe that, or they can't believe that. Sometimes it surprises me too. Some of the things that I do cook, but
That's great, because there's a lot of people that are afraid of the grill, and boy, once you learn to master it, it's a wonderful thing to work with. But
so,
good for you. Is there anything else, or just that
I like to play some sports. I like to play sports. I shoot basketball, but I'm not a very good basketball player. But I do try to play basketball with my daughters, and I throw the baseball around quite a bit and throw the football around. No, I don't try to go catch it or nothing. The chances are of me catching it wouldn't work.
Yeah, but
I do throw the ball around for the girls a little bit.
Go ahead. Sorry. Yeah. Yep.
You're
go ahead.
But yeah, that's what we do. We do. I play sports. A lot of people don't see that in me, but I do play sports. You know, what else do we do?
Yeah, you mentioned that, Rob. And one of the things I used to like to do is play slow motion football with my wife out on the front yard. Though I think she cheated at times. I think she moved a little bit faster than slow motion.
Well, you know.
No, that's what I do.
Well, the important thing is that you're staying active and you're doing stuff, and you're not just sitting there going, well, everybody else can do that or whatever. So good for you. I think that's great. And as far as cooking, it's amazing to me how many people are really afraid to get in and try different spices and, ooh, I wonder how this would taste or whatever the case is. So good for you.
I don't try to compete with anybody on that stuff. Really, I don't. I just like to go out and have a little fun. Really, that's all I do is just do it for fun.
Yeah.
There's no sense of being depressed and moping around on this one. There's things that we can do. I know we were talking at one of our meetings about supporting a boarding group. I'd like to see that here at Poplar Bluff. I really would. We have quite a few disabled people over there at the state school. I'd like to see them get out there and show some of their stunts off that they have. Everybody's got something inside them that God has given them, and it's not just a disability. It's some talent that they have. They just got to learn to use it.
I agree.
So
good for you guys. That's great. All right, I think Chip has one last question that he likes to ask, and
yeah.
I think you're going to be the definite right candidate for this one because you're very positive. And it's always great to hear that. I mean, it really is, because so many people, well, you know, you lose your vision and you're going, oh boy, what's there left now to do? You know, so, and you seem to have just grabbed the bull by the horns and run with it. And that's so important.
Well, I do have one last question for you, Rob. I wish we had a whole lot more time, because I really would like for people to really get to know you as a person. You're very encouraging. As Kay said, your outlook on life is very positive. You don't allow your blindness to prevent you from doing the different activities that you shared with us today. But let me ask you, do you have any words of encouragement? You shared some of it today with us, but do you have any additional words of encouragement that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, if you feel that you can't do nothing, try to get up and do something. We're all capable of doing something, whether it's just walking down the street or just anything, getting in the kitchen and putting something in the oven. We can all do something. It's just inside you. You've got to pull it out.
You know, you talked a little bit about, you know, you really enjoy cooking. Is there any thing that you really enjoy most about cooking? You mentioned about cooking out on the grill. Any special recipes or anything like that you really enjoy cooking?
I'm pretty good at making a good lasagna.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I make my own lasagna. But my favorite is really cooking out on the grill, really getting out in the sun and cooking on the grill.
Yeah.
Being outside.
Yeah.
That's the best part about grilling, yeah, is being outside.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Rob, we want to thank you for being our special guest here today on Meet the People of MCB. It's really been great. And I hope that people have got to know you a little bit more, learn a little bit better, kind of things that you enjoy doing. So we want to thank you for being our special guest here today.
Thank you for having me. And if anybody's ever in Poplar Bluff, don't be afraid to look us up.
Oh, that would be nice. It would really be great.
Well, yeah, ladies and... Everyone's welcome to come and sit in with one of our meetings, too.
Yeah, that'd be really
there
great.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you know someone that you would like for Kay and I to interview here on Meet the People of MCB, you can have them give me a call, Chip Haley, at 417-540-9703.
Or if you'd like, you could call me, Kay Malmquist, at 608-436-2610.
You never know. You might hear yourself next time right here on Meet the People of MCB. Enjoy your week, everyone, and we'll catch you right back here next time. Bye-bye for now.